Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 232, recording this on Monday, March 7th, 2022. Just a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. You can check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from TeePublic. I didn't breathe in the middle of that.
I was going to say, you didn't mess up.
And I didn't mess up. I'm out of breath now. I'm Tim. It's ladies' night. I'm not a lady, but the others are. It's Sheba and Lizzie. Hello, ladies. How are you?
And it's ladies' night, and the feeling's right. That's right. We're ready.
Yep, we're totally ready.
Very hello. Good to hear. We have a heck of a storm system rolling through here, so hopefully things like internet and power and that kind of stuff hold up. It's only for like the next half hour or so it shouldn't be, you know, too bad, but we'll see what happens. There's no John, in case you couldn't tell, because, you know, I didn't introduce him. He has some he's got a sports thing with his daughter, I think. So we do have a few news items, and then we have a profile, character profile, for our second show of the week that's coming up later. I mean, if you're listening to this, like, right when I release it, it's going to come up in a few days. If you're listening to this, like, a few days after I release it, then you'll be able to find the episode right away. So there you go. With that, ladies and gentlemen, on to our news. Kevin Feige. You ladies are familiar with Kevin Feige, right? Friend of the show?
Yep. Always messaging us to ask about all the things. Yep.
Absolutely. Lizzie, you just had drinks with him like a few days ago, didn't you?
To studio head boyfriend.
There you go. I would accept him as my studio head boyfriend. I mean, it's Kevin Feige. Come on.
Everyone would.
Yeah. Yep. So Benedict Cumberbatch, I mentioned Kevin Feige. Now I'm going to switch over to Benedict Cumberbatch. But wait, it has to do with Kevin Feige still. Benedict Cumberbatch was had a Hollywood Walk of Fame ceremony over the weekend, and or last week, rather. Kevin Feige spoke at it, which makes sense. You know, studio. Wait, what'd you call him, Lizzie?
Studio head boyfriend.
He may also be Benedict Cumberbatch's studio head boyfriend. And that doesn't have to be like a, you know, weird thing. But so Kevin Feige spoke at it and said that Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange is the new anchor of the MCU. His quote in this is, because somewhere you knew what this could be and you've always seen the tremendous potential in this character. Because of that, you become the anchor of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the only actor capable of guiding us through the madness of the multiverse. See what he did there? You know, we talked about this after Endgame that, like, okay, Iron Man is gone. Cap is retired somewhere. We're talking about, like, okay, so who is going to be the new, like, centerpiece of the MCU? Who's going to be the leader, the mentor, that kind of thing? And I'm pretty sure Doctor Strange came up in discussion at some point. What do you ladies think? What are your thoughts on this? Is it appropriate? Do you want him to just stay with the multiverse stuff, but have someone else kind of lead other things? What do you got? What are you thinking?
I mean, I that kind of makes sense, I guess, because he's been there a little bit long. Well, between him and Scarlet Witch, I figured it was going to be one of the two where everything would be kind of connected to them. I was technically leaning more towards Wanda's Scarlet Witch just because she started off with, like, with WandaVision, how things went from there. And now she's also in the Multiverse of Madness. I was kind of hoping that we'd get to see more things that would connect to her, but it makes sense that it's Doctor Strange because, I mean, he essentially deals with all the mystical and the phantasmical, really. So it makes sense that he would be part of that. And it could connect a lot of the other, even the, like, the galaxy or the space stuff, he could connect to that as well.
Lizzie?
Yeah, I think Wanda's a little too volatile. I mean, that's kind of how I felt coming out of WandaVision, was that, like, although watching the trailer for Doctor Strange and seeing, like, he's sort of volatile as well. So I don't know that I would say he isn't volatile. So let's just put that out there. But the way that they've been sort of putting him in, the way they put him in No Way Home as sort of like a person that Peter turns to, you know, and the kind of like the powers that he has and the knowledge that he has that sort of transcends just like the earth. Like, he does have this sort of otherworldly power too. So it makes sense to me. And I think that Kevin Feige's right about Benedict Cumberbatch being somebody that feels like a leader. It kind of makes sense to me. And he's got the goatee. So, like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Got the goatee.
Facial hair.
Speaking of which, I shaved the beard today and I am down to a goatee.
You've got a goatee, so you could be our leader, Tim. You're not. It's Sheba and I, obviously. We're speaking, Lila. You think you have power, but you have a goatee, so we're going to keep it going.
He could be the Doctor Strange of Guardians of the MCU.
Yeah, yeah. It hit like 70 degrees here yesterday. It was crazy. Opened the windows and everything, and almost all of our snow is gone. And so between that and then when we recorded last night, and we did Random Chatter, Lou came on and he had just shaved his beard. So I was just kind of like, it has to be done. It has to be done. So
the goatee's rule.
Yeah. The goatee came back out, got things trimmed up and yeah. So, I would agree that Wanda is kind of volatile. And I mean, that's so oftentimes in the comics, kind of the fragility of the character, that like she's super crazy powerful, but she's not been the most mentally stable. And that's how they balance the character. You know, you got to be able to balance characters well, especially when you have characters that are so powerful. So I think they've done a good job of that in the MCU, and obviously her instability comes for a lot of legitimate reasons, losses, trauma, PTSD, et cetera, et cetera. There's definitely some concerns there. It doesn't surprise me. And Doctor Strange does have the ability, I think, to kind of go elsewhere, you know, be more than just the multiverse guy or the earthbound guy or the kind of occult section of the MCU kind of guy. I mean, he could even be, you know, kind of this anchor for the cosmic part of it. I don't think he will be. If they bring any of the cosmic stuff into the multiverse, I can envision that, obviously, but the cosmic stuff itself, I think, is it's going to be a very different animal.
And I also want to say that, like, because it feels very, I mean, I want to say that if Black Widow hadn't died, I would have felt it was Black Widow, because I just think that she would have made the obvious choice. I don't really see Scarlet Witch being like a leader person. I think like her journey hasn't lent her to be there. We haven't seen that switch over. For me, but Black Widow, I think, would have been like the obvious choice, and obviously not. Mm-hmm. But I never saw Scarlet Witch being a leader in that way. From what we've seen, and I would maybe want to say Captain Marvel, except for I don't know. Like, no, I don't want her to be. Honestly, yeah. I don't want her to be. So, you know, I'm trying to, you know, see who the players are out there. But it definitely makes sense for Doctor Strange, I think, out of everybody.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's see. Going to dive pretty much for the rest of this. Let's jump to something, first of all, that I stuck in rumors because it is unverified and we don't necessarily know what actors' contracts are. Not that I necessarily don't think this is true, but there's been something milling around for the last couple weeks that Elizabeth Olsen, speaking of Scarlet Witch, has actually signed on with Marvel Studios for 7 more years. There are some speculations to what those projects could be, ranging from a Scarlet Witch trilogy of movies. I don't think so. That seems like a lot. You know, they mentioned that she'll be in the Agatha Harkness thing, which I agree she probably will be, and, you know, various other projects. I do think that I hope and I think that she will be around for a while. And by the way, 7 years is not enough for a trilogy of movies, I don't think. Plus all those other things, like that's a lot. That's a heck of a pace. Maybe like only Iron Man got us 3 movies in that amount of time. So the interesting, my thought with this is that when I first heard this, is that this does kind of go against what Kevin Feige had said a few years ago, that, you know, they're not going to do any more multi-movie contracts with actors. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I also think that, like, hey, we have a story arc planned out. Let's talk to the key actor or actors that are involved in it. And if they're amenable to it, yeah, let's sign them to that multi-film contract if we're definitely going to commit to doing this big story arc that involves them. Like, that absolutely makes sense. So yeah. While I understand where Kevin's logic was before, and he may still very well be sticking with that for a lot of things, this also doesn't surprise me either. Any thoughts on it?
I mean, they didn't say anything about TV shows, so maybe we're going to have not WandaVision, but maybe some other kind of show with Wanda in it. Because it made it seem like he was talking specifically about movies. But again, like you said, people can change their minds. So maybe True. He was like, yeah, this is, or maybe it was just in general, anybody knew that we're bringing on, we're not going to do we're not going to give them multi-contracts or long-term contracts, but for existing players, we might.
Yeah.
That could be it as well. I'm happy to see more of Scarlet Witch and her story, and or wherever she pops in into the MCU, it'd be nice to see, because there's definitely a lot more, at least depending on what happens in Multiverse of Madness, it'll be interesting to see what her future holds.
Yeah.
I think what strikes me is that they're saying 7 years, whereas I think before we would hear like 3 more movies, 2 more movies, 1 more movie, and now we're hearing years. And yeah. I think that that's deliberate, because I think they are working on sort of this multi-platform model that doesn't lend itself to necessarily only trilogies or leading up to the big end game movie. I think it looks different now. And so I think it's really deliberate to say 7 years. So what my question would be is, what are they looking towards in the 7th year? Like, what are they working towards? Like, what is that movie in? I'm not about to do the math. What is it? 2031? Is that right?
2022, 7 years?
2029. Yeah.
Right. See, this is why I don't do math. And I went too far. I went the other way with it. Like, I would be interested to know what the 2029 movie is that they're, or project is that they're thinking about, that they're sort of working backwards. I think a lot of studios do that. They work backwards. And so that would be my question. What's coming out in 2029 that is going to involve Wanda and sort of be the end of her arc, yeah, involving Elizabeth Olsen? Like, that's sort of where my mind went to. Because yeah, I just think we're just in a completely different iteration of the MCU than we've been in before. We're not working off of trilogies. That doesn't mean he won't do any, but that's not the model anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. So a few Disney Plus related things. First of all, a reminder, we talked about this last week. Remember that the Defenders shows, your Daredevil, your Jessica Jones, your Luke Cage, etc., those are going to be on Disney Plus starting on March 16th in the U.S. and a lot of other markets. And starting on the 16th, when you first log in, you will have to be activating and setting parental controls across all the accounts or all the profiles, rather, within your account if you are the lead account holder for that. So just a reminder there, because that is getting us our TVMA content, which is definitely what the Defender stuff is.
Wait, may I just mention that I like that you etcetera'd Iron Fist? I feel like he like, it's like in Gilligan's Island when all of a sudden Professor and Marianne were just like, and the rest. So now I think what we do is we say Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and the rest, because he doesn't deserve to be mentioned. He's terrible. So that is my vote, is that we mention the three good ones and we just, and the rest, stupid Danny Rand, we et cetera him. So yeah, I appreciate it.
Which is also even more hilarious when you realize that it's only one extra person that you're et cetera-ing.
There was still Punisher.
Punisher. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, Punisher should be mentioned, but
yeah,
Danny Rand should be et cetera as the only person and the rested.
Well, now, Lizzie, you've spent so much time on Iron Fist, it's definitely been mentioned.
Well, I'm just saying. I have to put it out there because he's stupid.
Charlie Cox, who does play Daredevil and comes from the Netflix shows, who is now in the MCU courtesy of the most recent Spider-Man movie. Bit of a spoiler there, I guess, if you've not seen it yet. We have indications that he will be in something else in the MCU, and he's looking for a bit of a costume modification. He would like the DD on the front of the costume. Just kind of throwing that out there. That's what he has in most of his comic book uniforms. Jessica Jones, a little bit of her. So Kristen Ritter, who played Jessica Jones, again, in the Netflix stuff, her hairstylist posted a picture on social media with Kristen Ritter wearing her signature Jessica Jones long wavy black hair with kind of the blue tone in it, purple shirt, black leather jacket, basically her exact Jessica Jones kind of thing. Supposedly a recent picture. Are we going to see Jessica Jones reappear in something? If it's a brand spanking new picture, it's too late for the principal photography from She-Hulk, unless they're kind of putting her in some kind of post-production work or reshoots or whatever. But if this was something that was maybe picture taken a few months ago, maybe. Or maybe we're going to see her in something else. I don't know. Thoughts? Would you like to see Kristen Ritter come back as Jessica Jones?
Yes, please. Especially since we're getting Charlie Cox and we've already got Vincent D'Onofrio. It's only a matter of time before we see Luke Cage and Jessica Jones in things and Punisher and stuff as well. And I'm all for it. And the rest. And with the and the rest, I mean, if they make a better storyline for the and the rest, I would happily accept.
Just canceled.
If and the rest they do better, then I'll accept it. But if they keep it as the and the rest from previously, I will not. Nope.
No.
But yeah,
only and the rest graduates Colleen Wing to be and the rest, then we'll say it. That's the only way we're gonna mention it.
I can totally go for Colleen Wing as Iron Fist. Yeah. I think that would be fantastic.
Yes. Right.
I know. I'm on board with that.
I was in a movie with Kristen Ritter, so I do have inside information. No, I don't, but I was in a movie with her.
Oh, that's so cool. What movie? And now I want to watch it.
Confessions of a Shopaholic.
Oh, you were in that?
Yeah.
What the heck? I've seen that movie so many times. Anyways, we'll talk about that later.
I've seen Sheba.
You know what? I've seen it before I knew you, so that's probably why I didn't notice. I'm going to rewatch it again and look for you this time.
You're welcome. My friend Kristen Ritter, who I was in a movie with, and ask her. Just kidding. I don't have her number.
Sorry, Lizzie. I fully expect her to be on as a guest next week. So yeah, set that up. Thanks very much. So last item here for this episode, Disney Plus is actually going to be debuting a cheaper plan later this year. Kind of blows my mind considering that Disney Plus is one of the least expensive streaming platforms out there. It's certainly the most major, least expensive streaming platform that's out there right now. I mean, Netflix just bumped their prices up. Disney Plus, they are throwing a lot of stuff in there. Their new stuff is like incredible production value. Might prices go up a buck or two? Don't know. But they are actually going to do a tiered plan. So they're going to have an ad-supported plan similar to Hulu and other platforms. They have not given pricing on it yet. But for those of us in the U.S., just kind of as a reminder, if you do have it and you don't pay attention to what you pay like me, or you don't yet have it, current Disney Plus subscription costs $7.99 a month or $79.99 per year, or $13.99 a month if you get the Disney Plus bundle, which is ESPN Plus, an ad-supported Hulu. And actually, in reading this article, I realized that you can also get that bundle with a no-ad Hulu for $19.99. I do the $13.99 bundle. No-ad Hulu, I don't know. Like, I watch stuff on Hulu, but not in a huge volume. I don't really mind yet.
That means the price is going up, though.
That's what a lot of people are thinking, that, like, okay, Disney Plus without ads is going to go up by a buck or two a month. And then they're going to introduce this, you know, lower cost model at, you know, I don't know, $4.99 a month.
But I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the option.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're most definitely going to have some people switch, especially as we're seeing prices of other things, you know, like gas is freaking skyrocketing and everything else right now. But they're also going to gain some people. They're going to gain some folks who've never had it before who say, hey, you know what? I can throw $4 a month at that, $5 a month at that. You know, they may be able to factor that into their budget. So don't know. And they're definitely looking. They want it to be accessible, but of course they like money. That is why they are in business. And they know that this is going to open up to potentially more subscribers. I don't think it's going to be a flood of new subscribers, but they will get some more.
It's just a really smart move to tier the prices. It's something Netflix isn't doing.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, if they can diversify themselves and be more accessible and sort of hit like the Amazon Prime, Hulu people, I mean, people are already paying for Hulu. So like they're already used to ads, I guess. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially since like Netflix is going up by a lot, it would be nice to have like other options.
Netflix had a couple of price increases like within the last few years. Yeah,
but they're the leader in my mind. I'll never get rid of Netflix, and I just got rid of Amazon Prime and HBO Max. I'll never get rid of Netflix.
I know. There's so many things that I like on Netflix, but yeah. I mean, we don't have HBO. We have Crave, so they have like a few other different things on there. But like I'm paying for three, so I'm paying for Crave, Amazon Prime, and Netflix, and my sister does Disney Plus because I'm like, I don't think I can do all four. Yeah. Somebody has to pay for one of them. Yeah. And my brother does Apple TV. So.
All right. Well, folks, that is it for this episode. Please do join us later this week for episode 233. We are doing a profile on Gore the God Butcher, who is going to be featured in Thor, Love, and Thunder. So do catch us then. And then certainly be sure to catch us next week for more news and discussion on Guardians of the MCU. Take care.